This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Daly. Our guest this week is Mike Seifert, President and CEO of the National Grain and Feed Association. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with NGFA's Mike Seifert next. Today's Open Mic segment is brought to you by America's crop insurance industry, which is thankful for the continued support of farmers, commodity organizations, rural businesses, lenders, and lawmakers who are fighting to maintain a strong farm safety net. Providing individualized protection on more than 540 million acres of farmland, crop insurance remains the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. Members of the National Grain and Feed Association either represent or touch a vast majority of U.S. agriculture enterprises. President and CEO Mike Seifert says the nation needs a new farm bill, cooperation among trading partners, and reliable transportation. Seifert and NGFA are relieved that East Coast and Gulf ports are back open.
I think what's good about this is that we've got the ports back up and running at a really critical time for U.S. ag being here in the middle of the harvest. Obviously, those ports that were impacted, that's about 40% of the U.S. container ag shipments, so a significant market of exports going out for both, grains and oilseeds, DDGs, soy meals, meat, poultry. So significant for us to have those open back up. And I think, the indication is that both sides have gotten to a resolution, at least on the wages and that they're both comfortable with. So we think that's a good thing. And we're excited that we'll be open through at least January 15th. And we know that we've got that certainty. I think, the concern there is that January 15th will still be hanging out there, and there's a hope that they will be able to get an agreement in place. But what we've learned in the past and what we've learned here again is that any disruption to the supply chain, particularly for U.S. agriculture, is detrimental. And on a lot of these container shipments that we were talking about, particularly for soy and the grains, a lot of these are specialty contracts or food grade contracts. And so, they're contracts that are built on relationships that have taken a while to get in place, and that are incredibly important, for those companies that have those contracts, some of which are a lot of smaller and mid-sized, co-ops and commercials. And so, when that East Coast market got shut down for a lot of them, that meant that their market was shut down completely. And so we're excited to have those markets back open. We think it's good for NGFA members. We think it's good for producers. But we can't keep having these disruptions in the supply chain, and we need folks to understand that these ports on both coasts and resiliency of the supply chain matters. And when you're an ag shipper and you have to ship when the crop's there, when the meat's in the container and ready to go, all the ports are important.
It would be nice if this was the only transportation issue that U.S. agriculture had to face. You still have issues with river transportation, and you have significant issues remaining still with rail transportation.
Yeah, with rail as a whole going into harvest this year, really, I would say if you talk to our members, the U.S. rail system, North American rail system as a whole, at least U.S. and Canada, operating the best heading into harvest that we've been at probably in close to 3 years. But where we're continuing to see real challenges is with exports into Mexico by train. And it's not due to the U.S. carriers. It's due to what we're seeing on the Mexican side of the border, particularly with Ferromex, which is one of their major rail lines there, which we've been having conversations with. But Ferromex has been embargoing U.S. ag products. That has kept U.S. shuttle cars from being able to get in at the rate that we and the U.S. carriers would like to get them in. We've seen delays in turn times on getting empties back from Mexico, to the point where a normal turn time on one of those shuttles to Mexico from origin and back would normally be about 15 days. We've seen that turn time with the cars getting held in Mexico being as long as 30 days, and we've had NGFA shippers that have had shuttles wait up to 3 weeks on their sidings while the U.S. carriers waited to get a permit from FXE to be able to enter into Mexico, taking some of those turn times from 15 to 45 days. That has a real impact not just on our NGFA members, but that has an impact on producers. When one of the U.S. carriers had to take some action back in August, limiting permits to respond to what they were facing in Mexico, we heard anecdotally of basis drops of 20 cents in some areas. And so a real impact. And it's not something that we've seen getting better. And I think our frustration is that the U.S. ag products are the only products that have been embargoed going into Mexico. And the ag products seem to be the only products that are not only being embargoed, but that are not being able to get their trains back on time and that are empty. And so we've obviously been visiting with FXE. The U.S. carriers have been visiting with FXE. But we think that there are going to be continuing challenges with these embargoes, with capacity on the Mexican side, and also some inspection challenges that we've had at the border. And so we're working with them, but I do think, you know, it may take some involvement from the U.S. government to remind Mexico that they do have obligations under the USMCA regarding the bilateral trade of goods and free flow of goods, and that includes agriculture.
Mike, we'll talk about Farm Bill coming up, but while we're on the transportation area, I know that WERDA legislation, and certainly for funding, is a point that's been in front of U.S. agriculture for some time. Congress needs to do a lot of things, but why is this WERDA and funding for WERDA so important?
Well, I think, you know, the water levels, the importance of our waterway system is a key cog in the system, so to speak, for U.S. agriculture. We rely on a three-legged stool: rail, waterways, and trucking. And many of these locks and dams on our river system are at or beyond their useful life. And the resiliency of those dams, the modernization of those dams, and being able to ensure that we can get water levels in the river that allow us to move the amount of product by barge down the river when we need to move it, is incredibly important, not just to the competitiveness of U.S. agriculture, but to the competitiveness of the entire U.S. economy and the global market. And we know our competitors in South America and other areas are making these investments. And it's critical not just from the U.S. ag and overall economies, but, you know, I think it's a national security issue, too, to be sure that we can remain competitive and a reliable and resilient supplier of food and agriculture goods in this global market, particularly in this day and age.
Mike, I know your career includes serving your time on Capitol Hill and around farm policy. So I'm going to ask you, if you don't mind, if we drift into Farm Bill here just a bit. I'll set the precedent that the House bill is $33 billion in the red. So now, after Hurricane Helene, there are calls for ad hoc disaster. There are calls that if we can't get a farm bill done, there needs to be some sort of an assistance package that also would require money. When we look at money, it appears to be the core issue right now from one side of the Capitol to the other. Thinking about the farm bill, how do all of these requests fall on the table of the Ag Committee and of the Congress now?
Yeah. Maybe discuss the disaster package that you talked about first there. I mean, I think when you look back, and I'm old enough now, Jeff, that, you know, when I was young, I was one of the staff that was working on what we called ARPA, the Ag Risk Protection Act, which was basically the crop insurance reform bill. And obviously crop insurance has become a huge part of the safety net for producers, and something that our NGFA members are strongly supportive of. But I think there had been a lot of talk of challenges on the producer side, especially with financing and heading into next year without a lack of a new bill in place, even before we had Helene hit. And I think now, if you look at the devastation in North Carolina and the Carolinas and down into Georgia and Florida, you know, I've got family in Georgia, and some of the devastation down there for, you know, equipment, facilities, and the cotton crop in particular, I think it, you know, there's little question that Congress is going to move on some type of a hurricane relief package, and an ag disaster will, I think, will be part of that. Now, how that's paid for, how you know, that historically that's something that's been off budget, emergency funding, that'll be a decision for Congress. But I think I would be very surprised if you don't see something happen on that front. But I think it also probably, you know, it increases the pressure a little bit to get a bill done this year. I think the turn that we've seen in the overall ag economy had certainly, it felt like kind of turned the discussion and debate up on the Hill on the farm bill here as we got into late summer. And I think, you know, as we talk to folks on the Hill and as you talk to the four corners, as we call them, of the committees, I think there's a strong desire to get this bill done, and I think every effort will be made. My experience, having worked on more of these bills than I want to say out loud at this point, but also as a staff director, is that folks don't always realize that sometimes your biggest challenges to getting the bills done are not on the ag committees. It's what you're dealing with off of the ag committees in both the House and the Senate. And also, secondly, just all of the work behind the scenes that has to take place, not just figuring out the funding issues, but working through all the language, getting the language drafted, getting the paperwork done that has to be done to have those discussions, the technical assistance that you've got to get by bringing in USDA and other agencies and really talking through with them and understanding, hey, what's going to be the impact if we do this, or can you implement this? How do you implement this? Trying to working through all that, and then anytime you make a change to any piece of the legislation that's been proposed or any proposal that you've been debating, if it impacts money, that's got to go back over to CBO and be scored, and that takes time. And so there's a real desire there to get this done. But you're going to be coming out of an election, what the mood's going to be. And then, like I say, there's just a lot that has to go on behind the scenes to land the plane. And I think there's a real desire, a real effort to get it done this year. But, you know, farm bills are never easy to get done. And I think that's something folks sometimes forget about. You know, Senator Bozeman, who's ranking on Senate Ag, I saw a comment from him, I think, last week. And he talked about the breadth and the depth of the farm bill. And I think, you know, another thing folks maybe don't realize is that in the years that we pass a farm bill or that Congress debates a farm bill, you know, setting aside the Annual Defense Authorization Act, which is a, you know, another beast in its own, In many Congresses, if it's a Congress that the farm bill is being debated and voted on, that may be the most complex and one of the larger, if not the largest, piece of legislation that the Congress will consider in that cycle, outside of perhaps the defense bills. And so when you put all that together, you know, there's just so much that goes into getting a farm bill done on, you know, both the public facing, but also back room behind the scenes to get it finished.
So the House Ag Committee has approved a farm bill. I's dotted, T's crossed. The Senate, we have only received suggestions from the chairwoman and the ranking member. Yet there was discussion about going to a conference and perhaps expediting the process. Senator Grassley from Iowa, not in favor of that. He wants the opportunity to debate the finer measures of the bill. So there is the question of what's the process forward if you're going to face such a critical deadline at the end of the calendar year.
I'll be honest, Jeff, I'm glad I don't have to help make those decisions anymore. that's going to be a tough one. And I think that's why we have the Ag Committees, and the Ag Committees have been bipartisan. I think because of the fact that we have followed what, you know, would be called regular order in the past on the farm bills, and we've done markup. We've given folks their opportunity, members to have their input and so to speak and offer their amendments. And there's going to be a real desire to do that. And, you know, I don't know if that's something that they will or will not do or consider in the Senate. You could come back and probably do that in November. I think when you look at the calendar and the floor time that we're talking about here, I think it would be really difficult at this point to have a freestanding farm bill on the Senate floor, that could be debated for any amount of time. But I think certainly you can conference, with the House proposal and the proposals in the Senate. Whether as currently done, or after having had a markup, it's always easier, I think, to conference, if you've got language, from both houses, but certainly not impossible. And you know, there's precedent here for both things. You look back to 2011, 2012. You know, that's when we were looking at the Deficit Reduction Committee and then the Super Committee, as it was called. And I remember at that time the Ag committees were told to get a farm bill proposal ready. And that was kind of a conference, between the two committees without having had the formal markups. That ended up not working out. Then we went to the formal markups and moved forward with the bills there, and marked them up out of both the House and the Senate. But it takes time. But you can certainly do it, but it's harder to do it if you don't have formal proposals from both sides, but certainly not impossible.
If you listen to the countryside, agriculture needs help now, especially row crop producers. And even if you pass a full farm bill doesn't provide support until perhaps the fall of 25. What's the negative impact of an extension? And what's the negative impact of a bill to provide what needs to be done for agriculture right now and for the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think the tough thing of an extension, and I think, you know, everyone would like to see this get done this year for all the reasons you've mentioned. And I'll say, you know, from an NGFA perspective, you know, we're very comfortable with the decoupled commodity title in the House bill and with the working lands conservation, and with the increased money for export promotion. But I think the biggest challenge of if you do an extension is that you have kicked the can well into 2025 at a minimum and maybe even further into 26. And there's precedence for that. You know, when I was staff director on Senate Ag for Senator Roberts in 2011, 2012, we had about 85%+ or more of the bill kind of worked out and negotiated out between what had been done in the super committee process and then what had been marked up and passed through the Senate, what had been marked up through the House, and then they had trouble passing a bill. But that bill was 85-90% done at the end of 2012. Congress ended, bill got extended on New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, kind of as the year changed. The bill didn't actually end up getting signed into law until February of 2014. And you're going to have a number of new members coming in to both the House and the Senate in January. The Senate control may or may not have flipped. House control may or may not have flipped. The presidency may or may not have flipped. We know we're going to have a new senior Democrat on the Senate committee. That's going to take time. That's going to mean more staff, new staff possibly that have to come in. And so there is a lot of education. There's a lot of groundwork and legwork that's going to have to just take place regardless with new members coming in and then not knowing really what the political landscape looks like for the presidency or the House and Senate, that by extending it, you know, I think, you know, it's going to make 2025 a tough year for getting it done if that's what we do. Not to mention the fact you're going to have a number of politicals that are going to need to be confirmed and put in place at USDA, and that's going to take a while, that are going to be the key folks to making the decisions on how any bill passed by the Congress is implemented. And so I think when you put all that together, the push, the impetus for getting this across the finish line in 2024, if we can, is certainly the intent and the desire that everyone wants to see.
Mike, there's so many big issues that Congress has to face, but there's one piece of legislation that your group has hoped for, and that's the Innovative Feed Enhancement and Economic Development Act. Is there any hope that this could be attached to a larger train moving through the Congress, or will this unfortunately be left to the wayside for a new Congress to address?
Well, Congress is sometimes really good at passing Christmas tree bills at the end of a session, as they say, and we're hoping that this is one of the presents that might be included. We've got really good bipartisan support in both the House and the Senate for this bill. We've seen it be passed by the Senate Health Committee. It's actually under the jurisdiction of the Health Committee in the Senate and Energy and Commerce in the House, but we're still very hopeful that this legislation could be attached to an end-of-the-year package, whether it's Farm Bill, an omnibus, or some other type of package. But, you know, just real quick, why this legislation is important is it would modernize the regulatory process for what we call zootechnical feed ingredients. And basically, FDA would be able to regulate these products through a more appropriate food additive process than rather an animal drug process. And why this would be important is that by regulating the approval as it's currently done as an animal drug, that can take up to about 10 years for that approval process. By moving to this process and being more truthful on the claims and what we're saying, you'd be able to reduce that approval process significantly. Excuse me, but the other thing it does is it'll put U.S. producers on a level footing with competitors in Europe, Asia, South America that have already updated their policies to allow these food products to make these statements, to make these claims, and to result in this efficiency that it brings to meat production. And so we're very we think there's a lot of benefits to this legislation, and we're hopeful that we'll still be able to find an opportunity to get it attached and get it moved on something here at the end of the year.
Well, Mike Seifert, we want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us on this edition of Open Mic. Your association has been serving agriculture in the U.S. since 1896 and still providing such a tremendous effort, not only for domestic agriculture, but opening doors globally. Thanks for being here, and thanks for your insight. It is Open Mic, and Mike, you know you've got the last word for the day.
Well, Jeff, just thanks for this opportunity, and thank you to all who work in agriculture, and it's a real privilege to serve at NGFA and to serve our members who help work with so many producers. And, you know, we just thank all of you. We thank you for the partnership that you've given us. There's a lot of challenges going on right now with port and transportation and rail and getting a farm bill done, but we're always optimistic in agriculture. We're always hopeful, and I think working together we can get a lot of good things done. So just thanks for this opportunity, and thanks for all that you and AgriPulse do on behalf of agriculture as well.
Our thanks to Mike Seifert, President and CEO of the National Grain and Feed Association, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by NCIS, the National Crop Insurance Services. Crop insurance, the smartest, most efficient way to secure America's food, fiber, and fuel supply. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nelly.